studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Thank you for joining us again today at Abounding Grace as we wrap up our study in the book of 1 John chapter 1, as we look at the pattern of sin and what John outlines as three types of false professions, all advancing to the ultimate truth of one saying that they have no sin. And you know, there's an interesting statement in the book of Ephesians, in the epistle to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul made a very fascinating statement in chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness, now listen to this, of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The Apostle Paul there says that because of the blindness of the heart, there's a point at which a person can become past feeling. What does that mean? Well, it means there's a point at which a person can become so caught in their sin, so hardened in their sin that they don't even feel that it's wrong. At least on the conscience, everyone has the law written that says certain things that are wrong. And everyone knows this, written on the heart of every person. But you can so suppress that that you can come to a point of even being past feeling anything of sin and saying that what you're doing is completely okay. That is the pattern of what we would call self-reprobation, self-turning yourself over and giving yourself over into a pattern in a life of sin so that you're past feeling, you're numb to it. Well, that is essentially what John has been outlining in the first chapter. There's been advancement. You'll remember he started off by saying God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And then he raised the point in fact that there are certain false professions in the church that lead down a certain path. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, remember, continue down a path of sin habitually, John says, we lie. We do not practice the truth. Our profession is a lie. And then he gave a remedy. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But then he went on, and I said, notice the progression here, and we considered this one yesterday. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If someone comes to us, or the Word of God exposes sin in our hearts, and we say, I'm not sinning, and I said yesterday, you'll see this with people who, when confronted about sin, they will say, I'm not doing anything wrong, leave me alone, you're judging me. If we say that we have no sin, right now is John's emphasis, we deceive ourselves. We do what the devil's always trying to do to us, and the truth is not in us, he says. Now, is there a remedy to that? Absolutely, there's a remedy to this. And he always gives these beautiful remedies to this problem of sin. What does he say? He says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our Lord is so gracious and merciful, desiring to forgive sin. He is compassionate. What a wonderful Christ. What a wonderful gospel. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, feeling the weight of your sin, and I'll give rest for your souls. And he gives the remedy for this further progression in sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is the way of life for the Christian. The Lord says, stop playing games with me. Be honest. Be real. Come and confess your sins. Don't hide them. Did not Jesus say there's a fountain of living water that will flow from your hearts? Can you not hear him in the temple crying out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink? Jesus has the power and the ability through his blood and righteousness to forgive and to wash you. You know, John does something very interesting here. We would have expected him to say something like this in verse 9. If we say we have sin, we're true. But instead, John says, if we confess our sins. What God is after, my friends, is not just an admittance that we're sinners. Most anyone would agree to that to some extent. But what God is after is for us to fall upon our knees to confess particular sins to him, being honest about who we are in our faults, our terrible perversities of heart. That is far more costly and guarantees sincerity. And that is what God is after, sincerity. The beautiful remedy here is that when you come to him saying, okay, Lord, enough of my running, enough of this pattern of darkness, I lay it before you. I will be open with you. I confess it. No more hiding. Seeking sincerity in the heart to turn. What does God do? Notice what John says in 1 John chapter 1. God is what? Faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, my friends, God is faithful to his promises. He has said that he will pardon sin. Come to him, lay it at the feet of his son, Jesus Christ. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, though you have done the worst of sins, and though you have been a murderer or a terrible drunkard or whatever, the worst we can think of, God says, I'm faithful to forgive and I'm ready to forgive. God would not be faithful if he refused to forgive your sins. He says that here. Do you think about that? But he will not tolerate somebody hiding them, like Adam and Eve running in the garden and refusing to fall before him. He brings it out into the open. And notice, too, that God is just. God, who is perfectly righteous, demands a payment. He is so just that he couldn't just abolish it without the shedding of his own son's blood. A way of cleansing is provided for you, and all who believe upon his name can be sure that through this faithful and just God, you are cleansed from all of your unrighteousness. And there remains for you his forgiveness for any sin that plagues you in your Christian walk. That is awesome, my friends. But now we come to the final progression here today. We have looked at two. Somebody who says they have fellowship and walk in darkness perpetually. They lie. Then somebody who says they have no sin when they're confronted about it presently. And John says they deceive themselves. The truth is not in them. But then we come to the most jolting statement in verse 10. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Look, my friends, there's a path of no return. That is why any of us who are walking in darkness and refusing to be corrected and refusing to see sin in our lives are at a crucial point. Because at some point, the heart can become so hard that it's too late. That's exactly the path of self-reprobation that I read about Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul discusses in Romans chapter 1 that God gives them over to these things. If one progresses to the point of saying they've not sinned, not only that they're not sinning right now, but the emphasis here is different. Saying that they've never sinned or been in a sinful state, that resembles in every way blasphemy. Here's the danger. For all of those who begin down this path, walking in darkness and denying their sin, it will undoubtedly lead to a point at which they lose all unconsciousness of sin altogether. That is the point here. They may not say it, but a life of complete numbness to this is the very same thing. It's a warning, of course, for anyone justifying a pattern of sin. Notice the consequences here. Worse than a lie about our profession to the church and to God, worse than deceiving ourselves, verse 8, and leading ourselves astray, when we come to the point of complete numbness to sin, refusing to even call ourselves sinners, we've personally attacked God, John says, and called him a liar. God has made a promise after promise, saying that he will abundantly pardon sin. And even more, he pardoned it through the blood of his own dear son, Jesus Christ. He sent him here, assuming our nature and suffering all the way to the cross in body and soul for sinners. Can you imagine someone walking in darkness, making the claim or living as if they never sinned nor are sinful? God's whole plan of salvation is based on the fact that we're full of sin and misery to the point of being totally depraved. Is there a remedy for this? Is there a remedy for saying in verse 10, if we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar? Is there a remedy provided here? No. Notice, in such case, there's no remedy provided. The first two professions provide a remedy, false professions, but this one doesn't. In the previous two verses, there were, Christ is held out for the sinner and his forgiving call. But with this charge, John gives nothing. Do you see we've come full circle? What sort of profession do you have today? There's only one true one, and that is coming empty-handed, recognizing your sin, falling before him in confession and sincerity, looking only unto the propitiation that God the Father has provided in Jesus Christ. For all of those who are living in unrepentant sin and are living refusing to see your sin, repent today and flee to this Jesus. It's such a wonderful gospel and a wonderful life in him. You live in the day of grace when a remedy is provided and you may be saved, but that will not be forever. And for all of you who have come into the light and have had your deeds exposed and your sins exposed and being brought into the open, know this. There is that gift of Christ's blood that has washed you and sanctified you and now gives you the assurance of pardon each and every day that Christ's purifying and sacrificial death has washed away all of your sins. And now he gives you continual renewal and strengthening as you wait for the day when you will enter forever your eternal kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Like to know more about us, who we are, what we believe, what our convictions are, you may visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com. We have articles, sermons, radio broadcasts, a whole host of information for you to help you and aid you in your Christian walk. If you have any questions and you'd like to talk about the broadcast, feel free to call 360-318-0429. And we do give you a sincere invite to join us for worship this Sunday. Our conviction in bringing this to you is that you would find a church home where the gospel is sincerely preached and believed in the heart, that you're not receiving all this entertainment that's going on out there today, but that you are fed with the one message that is able to save your souls. We worship at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.